League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Scott Hastings, former player and current color commentator.
I got beef with Scott Hastings. Bring him up. And it's been simmering for a long time. Scott, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I will never forget the year, I believe, was 1983, might have been 82, as a kid watching Phi Slamma Jamma. They go to Fayetteville, and you hit a bank shot. Last-second bank shot to beat University of Houston and my beloved Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler to win that. Do you remember that game, beating University of Houston?
Well, I do. I'll tell you a funny story. A, it wasn't bank. It was all net. All net.
I remember.
That was just Houston trying to put down the shot. But I'll tell you a funny story. My grandmother somehow got this blow up of that picture that was probably, 12 or 11 and 3/4 by 24, right? I mean, it was wide, like a fisheye photo almost, but close up. And it shows the shot, and I've released it, and Akeem's flying at it, and it literally, if there was a quarter inch between his fingertip and the ball, I mean, it's a great photo. I had never seen it before. I haven't seen it since my grandmother had it kind of blown up and put on the side of the refrigerator. That being said, so that was that. Now, Akeem, he and I became pretty good buddies. For the next, I don't know how many years, I played 11, he played 72. Every time he'd see me, you know, we'd dap up and do the guy thing. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And if there's anybody near him, he would say, and I'll do a bad broken English. He said, "Come here, Scotty. Look, he owes me money. He's not paying me any money. He makes one shot on me, and he got a whole NBA career." So I do remember that shot. And if you ever get a Akeem on that, ask him about that because, every time he sees me, he tells me I owe him money because that shot got him 11 years in the NBA.
Before we get into the series, I do want to say it's kind of interesting to me to watch the young basketball fans who didn't see Olajuwon play. There's like a renaissance of Akeem Olajuwon where I think young people are catching up with YouTube videos and seeing the footwork and the moves, and it's something they don't really see at that speed and that athleticism from NBA bigs anymore. And there's like this renaissance of love for Akeem Olajuwon as one of the, you know, truly greats out there. And you played against him when he was still raw, but extremely explosive as a shot blocker and leaper. What was it like going from the raw, explosive athlete in college to the polished dream once he was in the, well, deeper into his pro career?
Yeah, it was my, I want to say it was my senior year. It's like it was his first year playing, which I think it might have been eligibility wise his sophomore year. But we're playing down at Hoffines, and you know I'm all conference. I was all conference as a junior and a sophomore. You know, I ended up making it all my senior year. Had a pretty good year. Actually, I had a good year that year. And we're playing Houston in Houston. And this is before the shot. So this is the first game that we played them. And this big, tall guy comes in, blah, blah, blah. We'll guard him. You know, who's he? I'm Scott Hastings, blah, blah, blah. He makes this little dream shake, kind of, blah, 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 spins baseline, goes to the middle, dunks it on me. And I'm like, whoa. Whistle blows, traveling. Fool the ref, I guess. But I remember going down, I've gone, OMG. That was, you know, I practice against Joe Klein every day in practice. I ain't seen that quickest. I had Steve Shaw on my team as a freshman. I don't remember that quickness. Uh-uh. And I remember going out, we were talking after the game or going back to Fayetteville. And I saw the dude, I'm telling you, that was the quickest move I've ever seen anybody make in my life, you know, at that position. So to see him grow that into it, he traveled as he got in the pros and got a name and he got a little lazy. They let him travel all the time. But, tell him I said that. he got to travel a little bit on that move. But I try to tell everybody, and listen, I have all the respect for all the bigs that's ever played. Growing up, you know, I was a fan of Chamberlain and Willis Reed and Lew Alcindor before he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I knew I was going to be a bigger guy. My dad was 6'8", so I figured I was going to be, you know, tall, and I just loved the big guys. That was kind of the era of the big guys. But, man, I think he's as good as any of them. When they always argue greatest of all time, he's never in there. But I don't, as you, if you want to slip him before or whatever, but he's one of the top 5-6 players I've ever seen in my life. Hakeem Olajuwon was just amazing to me.
Scott Hastings with us, color commentator for the Denver Nuggets. Well, you got a pretty good one there. Is Jokic moving up the board? Where is Jokic as far as you see him night in and night out? Where is he now as far as the all-time center greats for you?
Well, that's. It's hard to see. It's hard to say. I mean, there's always so many different eras, I don't know. I mean, I think you got to win a championship. You win a championship, you vault yourself. You probably vault yourself to all the guys that were great players that didn't. And I love Patrick Ewing. He's a buddy of mine. But you got to ball him over Patrick. I think, and to be honest with you, and I love Patrick. He's already better than Patrick. I don't know, fellas. He's got as good a hand as any big I've ever seen. He can shoot it obviously from range. We've been watching that, in the postseason. He probably doesn't have the lateral speed defensively that obviously Hakeem has or some guys like that. But he's smart. He's usually in position. He knows where to go. He can force. And like I said, because of the good hands, if you look, he's averaging over a steal a game in the NBA as a 7-foot center. I think he was top 4 or 5 in the NBA in deflections. I don't know, man. I don't think we're there yet. I think if the Nuggets can find a way to win the NBA championship this year, and Miami's got a lot to say about that, I think he's a top 20 player already. He's 8th year in the league. That's how good I think he is. I would love to sit down, and you know who would love it too, probably? Is Nikola, because I think he loves some of the history. I introduced him to an old teammate, Dominic Wilkins, one time, and man, his eyes lit up like he was a little kid. And I kind of like young players or this generation players that still respect and understand, who the old time greats were. I would, in fact, I always go down the floor hoping Hakeem would show up because he showed up before to one of these Houston games. I would love to introduce him. To Nikola, but
did you see Nikola mention him the other day?
I don't know. That's a long-winded answer. You got me. No one's asking, but because now you have me put him in front of childhood greats.
Nikola,
you know what I'm saying?
Nikola mentioned him in Magic and Jordan.
Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, Nikola, if you want to put him in there, and Hakeem, mix it up right there. Maybe he's behind all those other guys, but he's right there.
He mentioned Dream and Jordan and Magic Johnson in terms of guys he looked up to, and you can see it with some of his reverse pivots and his ability to, to leverage his little right hand layup and in terms of giving you the reverse spin. He's got some low post games. I'm curious. I was thinking about this. Victor Wembanyama comes into the league. We know he's really talented. We'll see how quickly he acclimate size-wise, strength-wise. But you've got Giannis, you've got Nikola, you've got Luka Doncic. You've got Joel Embiid, who won the MVP this year. None of those guys were – they were all foreign-born players. I wonder when the next time – how long a run we're going to have of non-U.S.-born basketball players – winning the MVP, because when you think about it, this could be a really long run based on that talent alone. Really speaks to the global nature of basketball now.
Yeah, and listen, he didn't win it his third year in a row, and he was every bit as good as he was the 2 years he won it. I think there was a political agenda move against Nikola Jokic to win it this year. Driven by ESPN, and if you've been following the playoffs, Lisa Salters, who's doing sideline in the finals, admitted in that Minnesota series, it was actually the LA series, the first time we saw them. She goes, "Oh wow, you know, this is the first time getting to see Nikola Jokic. I didn't realize how good he was. I'm gonna have to watch this." Kendrick Perkins, who's been one of his biggest detractors all year long, also two days ago, starts saying, "Well, the league needs to start showing them more. You know, I need to pay attention." And he's holding the banner for Embiid 90% of the year when Joker's killing everything. So I don't know how long the run is. I will say this. AAU basketball is stupid. It's poorly developing players. It's teaching them the wrong mindset of how to become an NBA player, where fluff is more important than substance. And until we stop that and wake up to that, instead of bowing down to that like we've done. And the college coaches are part of that too, because they keep buying into them because they don't want to get, out recruited by the next guy. You're going to see a lot of runs like this, because here's the difference with guys who are 16 years old in Europe, 15, 16 years old, even underdeveloped guys like Nikola was. I was watching an episode on him yesterday at 17. These guys are playing in pro leagues against men. They're growing up, and especially in Europe, learning how to play the game. I don't know if you guys heard the sound by yesterday. If your producer go back and find it, they asked Nikola about whatever, how scoring 40, losing the game. He goes, I've always believed the open man wins the game.
Yeah, yeah.
If you kind of break this down and know this. A big guy that through the series has been at, through the playoffs, been averaging a triple double. He says the open man wins the game. I think that's subtle brilliance. Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
Well, the four assists have been talked about quite a bit. When he has four or fewer assists, the Nuggets don't win. So
right.
does he have to find that open man more now in the rest of this series for the Nuggets to win this thing?
Well, I keep a chat. I'm doing the games on radio. Unlike Eric, who's on vacation and just gets to watch, who's also a good friend. And by the way, when I was the OG in Miami, the expansion year, and I played for Miami, he was working TV then. I keep a chart every time I do play-by-play, and it's kick-out passes, missed shots. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had four assists last night, and no one talks about, I think, his fourth assist. It was that water polo pass to Gordon who reverse dunks it. And it was, one of the more brilliant passes. He had four assists, and that was as good a pass as probably 90% of the world will ever have in the postseason, or 90% of basketball players. But I keep this chart. And there were, and I was looking for my bag to see if I could find it from it. I believe there was eight or nine missed opportunities: kick out, open three, kick out shot, kick out, miss, tried layup, missed the layup. Eight of those. So people say he's got to find more. Just let the world know he ain't scoring 40 and only getting four assists because he don't want to pass it. He's still passing it. The difference is he also knows, oh, Jamal's not on right now. Jamal didn't have a good game really to the fourth quarter. Michael Porter's not on. He's not had a good game yet in the finals. KCP's not on. Struggled in game two. Bruce Brown struggled a little bit shooting the basketball. Aaron Gordon was okay, but they put Kevin Love on him, so he wasn't having that free-reign bully ball going on. And like, there was eight opportunities out there that you make all eight of those. First of all, you blow out Miami in that game. No. They have a triple-double, and they're talking about, dude, this guy had a 40-point triple-double. Only, you know, XYZ has ever had a 40-point triple-double in NBA history. So, guys got to score. Your best shooter in the season from the three-point line is Michael Porter, and he's 3 of 18 right now. And he's got to have a Struce kind of redemption game, I think, here in Miami these next two, and come out and hopefully get out of that funk.
That's Scott Hastings. He's going to have a big time tonight. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. Miami and Denver, the color commentator, former NBA player with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great reminiscing, and really appreciate your insight, Scott. Thanks for joining us and spending some time this morning.
Hey, anytime. Love Houston. Find me home. If I ever get fired, I can come down and live, or tell Keen to find me a place. And I love you guys.
Well, wait. Before you go, I know you golf. If you want, I'll take you out to my place, a new course here in Houston. But quickly, some thoughts on yesterday with Liv and PGA joining forces.
Well, first of all, to me, it's two discussions, and I've been saying this since the day it happened. If you want to talk about the political side and the money and the stuff they've done against humanity, that's a discussion. If you want to get on that, let's get on that and let's go, because that's a legitimate worldly human being discussion. Now, if you want to just get about what Liv was, and you're going to forget about who's backing it, who owns premier teams, who owns F1 teams, who owns a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of money the world's already taken, and you just want to talk about great. I thought Liv was the greatest thing in the world for players. I think competition is great for players, and it got a whole bunch of guys paid. And it's funny, they say, well, I've got a bunch of washed-up players. Well, yeah, one of those washed-up players won the PGA, and I think it was second or third in the Masters. And if you look at all the purses in the agreement that the PGA made with the PGA players, they was getting paid, too. All their money went up. There was guaranteed money. The agreement, they're going to show up to more tournaments. There was guarantees. Liv got PGA players paid. And then here comes the merger, and all you remember is, and by the way, of all the people that talk, Rory McIlroy, ain't heard a lot from Rory McIlroy yesterday, did we? So I think you got to be careful. I've always, sided, why are you bashing people on the way out? Because eventually he's going to come back and get you. I think this is a gotcha moment with the PGA. There's an old group, you guys are way too young, but go back and look up a song by the OJs called For the Love of Money. And anytime you wonder why something's happened in pro sports, pull out that OJ song. For the Love of Money.
It's always about great. When they say it's not about the money, it's about the money.
It's always about the money.
Scott Hastings, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us, and have fun tonight.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.